You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO's Loud and Proud. Become a member during our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 20th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots, independent, radically made community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give and help us reach our $45,000 goal. Thank you.
Again, you're tuned to Hard Knock here on the Pacifica Network. I'm Anita Johnson, and today we're speaking with Frankie Ramos, the Director of Campaigns and Organizing from Courage, that's Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice. Also joining us by Zoom, we have Mike Muscadine, the Community Peace Manager, also with Courage. Today they're here to talk about their upcoming Town Nights event this Saturday, themed Fresh for School. Frankie and Mike, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Now, every year, Courage brings the community together for these block party styled events, but there's always more to it than just fun. Starting with you, Frankie, or Mike, tell us a bit about what Fresh for School means and what people can expect when they come out this Saturday.
Yes, we want to make sure that folks are, you know, looking right and looking good for the school year. A lot of our young folks, we deal with a lot of different populations. Some young folks don't have the funds to get a haircut or even the resources to, you know, get a pair of shoes. So a lot of our life coaching and violence interrupters support them with that, with rapid response funds. And we have a lot of community folks, even, you know, after our last interview, like a lot of folks came out and said, hey, can we sign up to just volunteer to give some of these young people some haircuts? So we had a lot of folks just reaching out. So Fresh for School is just, you know, it means a lot to a young person. You know, me being a young person coming from a, you know, directly impacted, system impacted in a family that was low income, we didn't have the privilege to always have the finest things to be at school, right? So we're looking for those young folks to have that support. If it's a pair of shoes, a t-shirt, or a haircut, you know, to feel confident to get the school year on, you know, and just support them in that way. And also just to build community and relationships. You know, it's always about building relationships and communities and folks that usually don't talk to young folks, the elderly, to see those young folks out there, to see who they really are, and also to see the elderly folks and build community together as one. So that's what we're looking for. Just amazing music, a lot of activities, and just building community and just fellowshipping with one another.
Right. No, I really appreciate that, Mike. I appreciate that when we think about Courage, that you all include various aspects, you know, intersectionality when we think about culture and then politics, and especially like the practical support, like school supplies and haircuts. Those might seem small, but I imagine they make a big difference in the community. Can you talk a bit about why these supports matter so much, especially right now in the current climate?
Yeah, I can speak a lot with the climate. Just with right now, what's going on, a lot of these programs are being cut throughout the whole nation. We're seeing a lot of that go on here in the city of Oakland as well, with even within the school system. A lot of young folks do not have that opportunity to have resources, right? So, this is not our money. This is not Mike doing it. This is Courage. This is the life coach. So when a young person gets that t-shirt or pair of shoes, it's crazy how they're like, "Mike, appreciate, thank you, thank you." I said, "No, it's not me. This is Courage. This is what we're signed up for. This is what we do." And they're just like, to see that young person be very grateful and thankful, and they're like, "You know what, Mike, I'm gonna do better in school now. Hey, you know what, Mike, I'm gonna show up to that community event. You know what, Mike, I'm gonna show up to that men's circle now." That's what it's about, to show them that like there's resources. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Ask. A lot of young folks are shy and don't want to speak out to the elders or even speak to their school administration, their counselors. So when they open up like that, it means a lot.
Right, absolutely. Frankie, how long have you all been doing Town Nights in Oakland so far?
Many years. I think Mike would know better than me. I've been at Courage 4 years, and we've been doing it since I've been here. When I started out, we were doing them even in the holidays, during the December holidays. So we did a series in December, and then we did a series in the summer. And I wanted to just kind of add to what Mike said about who's actually doing this. And I wanted to, give credit where credit is due. Also, there's a lot of community-based organizations that came together with other groups in Oakland who believe in the importance of funding prevention strategies as a way to keep our community safe and not just continuing to throw money at police departments. We know that that doesn't work. And so this is at least the third time that Oaklanders passed a measure to have some funding go to violence prevention strategies. And so the voters in Oakland did pass Measure NN last November, which gave us another 10 years of these resources going into the Department of Violence Prevention, which then goes out to CBOs like Courage, like Tribe, who are able to do these strategies, like Mike said, of bringing people together in community, bring people together across generations, and kind of break down the fear of each other, notions of who's doing harm in the community and who we should be afraid of. Shout out to Oakland, to all of the cities and all of the people who recognize the importance of putting resources into real solutions to violence, into violence prevention, which means resourcing our young people.
Absolutely. Now, as you mentioned preventative strategies. This is what Town Nights really is about. And the reason why I asked you how long this has been in operation is because, it just didn't appear overnight. It came out of the need to showcase and create other measures or strategies in order to create safer communities. Can you talk about or share with our listeners why Courage started Town Nights in the first place? Was there a gap in support or services in Fruitvale? Is that why, or that's what you all saw as the need and the reason to address it this particular way? And how also is that a preventative measure or a strategy when we think about violence prevention?
Yeah, I think when we started it was a collective of different agencies that are doing the work, Youth Alive, Tribe, many agencies that have different areas and jurisdictions that work with different populations, to be out there. So we got this model from Los Angeles. I believe it was Friday nights, where they go to certain in areas what was directly impacted by heavy law enforcement, by certain crimes happening, robberies, shootings. So they start targeting locations that were bringing up multiple shootings. And in Los Angeles, they seen that it worked, that it decreased, bringing resources, bringing the community agencies out to meet these young people, giving them support. It showed that a lot of the shootings, homicides, robberies around these events at Friday's nights in Los Angeles, I believe it was called. Don't quote me on that. I probably got it wrong, but it decreased the shootings, homicides, robberies, and it gave young people an outlet and opportunity to meet these agencies to see, like, "Oh, you work in my neighborhood. Oh, I didn't know that." So they start finding out that's how you decrease violence, of getting these young folks resources. No matter what, community, what country you're in, if you, every community has the resources to put into young folks and adults of education and just find out who they are, crime will go down. That's anywhere. It's shown if you put those resources out there. So as a collective, we took that model from Los Angeles and we started targeting city areas in Oakland, Fruitvale, San Antonio, Deep East Oakland, West Oakland, North Oakland. And those agencies took like, hey, we got credibility in this area, we'll take care of this. And Courage took care of the Fruitvale. That's where a lot of our credibility and respect is at. That's where we're born out of. So we took like Josie Dela Cruz, AKA Sanborn Park, as our first initiative to start giving us resources. But before Tell Nights, Courage was doing like, you know, turkey giveaways before we got the funding. And we did also like block parties, mural projects, and also toy giveaways before the Tell Nights. So the city also seen that, like, you guys are already doing it. Let's give you guys a little bit of funds and let's make it bigger and better and give all this resources to the young folks in the community. So that's like how it was starting. I think we're going on like year 4.5 now, I believe so.
Frankie, did you want to chime in?
I just wanted to say that, you know, one detail that I think is important to mention is that when we talk about putting resources into the young people, like directly, like they are, there's a part of the strategy is to hire them as day of workers, because we know that, you know, resources are lacking. And part of the reason that resources are lacking is because there aren't a lot of good jobs, and a lot of young people are not really clear like what the future holds for them. So like Mike said, getting connected to the community-based organizations that they can partner with. Some of them can do, like, we have fellowships for transitional age youth and internships for high school youth that are that we provide stipends for. In a lot of cases, they can turn into jobs. You know, we hire a lot of the youth that we serve in entry-level positions, but also just giving them the opportunity to work at these events, get money in their pocket, get some actual work skills on their resume, which can set them up for like future employment, on top of the point that I made before about shifting the narrative and how the community looks at these young people. It's really powerful to see youth who you have certain misperceptions of, and you see them working at the Jumpy House, you see them working with young people, you see them serving the community food or cotton candy, and that's the kind of magic that happens at Town Nights.
That's the voice of Frankie Ramos, the Director of Campaigns and Organizing from Courage, Community United for Restorative Youth Justice. Also joining us by phone, we have Mike Muscadine, the Community Peace Manager, also with Courage today on Hard Knock. We're talking about Town Nights event happening this Saturday. It's themed Fresh for School. And Frankie, you know, mentioned just a few seconds ago about the importance of young people there at Courage. You know, youth leadership is really central to what you all do. How do young people help shape these events, the narrative, and what kind of ideas do they bring to the table?
Yeah, they bring a lot of the ideas around activities, or, you know, what should we do next? You know, what activities, you know,
Wait, do they, just not activities, but do they check the old heads too? Like, nah, yeah. this is not what we like. It's a different generation.
So basically, you know? they're also communicating with their peers, doing outreach. Okay. They're also, you know, learning those skills. So they bring a lot to that, not just the idea of what we're doing with activities.
Excellent.
But they're also seeing like what, like they can talk to their peer if their peer is acting out of line, right? And I've seen that happen multiple times where some of these young folks are helping me with security, right? And they're like, oh, Mike, I know him, let me go talk to him. So that is very good. I'm 39, they're 15, 16 years old, they can relate to them and they could comment down. They're like, hey, Mike's tripping, can y'all just watch out on that? And that's a good, you know, because you know you're having that peer-to-peer conversation already and you've seen that leadership step in. And one, they see one young folks do that, then the other ones kind of like fall in line, like, oh, you know what? I want to do that. You know, I want to be like, you know, Breon. I want to be like Day Day. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like James, because they've been working with Courage and doing certain things.
Right. Well, Mike and Frankie, let's expand the conversation a bit. You know, Town Nights really is mixed culture, community, and politics all in one space. How do these elements come together in your events, and why is it important for youth and families that you all serve?
I can speak just because, like, the Fruitvale is predominantly multicultural, right? You have every culture here: Vietnamese, Chinese, African American, Salvadorian, Mexican, Honduran, Guatemalan, Chinese. So it's a lot. We always want to. I was brought up in a community where we're multicultural. There's never no division. You know, there's always been politics that came up. So we have a good dialogue and conversation, and I always told folks like, we need this. You know, my block is multicultural. My neighbors are multicultural to this day, and I was raised that way. And I said, that's how all of our block parties need to look. So it's a lot of conversation, and you know, sometimes, like for instance, our Fruitvale Community Garden, we have a multicultural of like someone that speaks Mandarin and Cantonese and Vietnamese, Guatemalan Spanish, and none of these folks communicate. They don't know how to communicate with each other, but they know how to come together as gardening and food, and also as community, as seeing neighbors, and then they start planting and growing together. And that's the same vision of what Town Nights and what Courage wants to do. Even though we have language barriers, we want to start having that conversation. So when we do bring in to like our monthly mixers, we bring in like the Hmong community, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Cambodian, the Guatemalan families, every family, to just kind of let them know what's really going on. Because a lot of our elderly just listen to the news and what the news portrays as what's going on in the city of Oakland.
Right. You know, Mike, I find that to be one of the beautiful things about the Bay Area, in particular when we think about the Fruitvale district area of Oakland. I think this is really unique to Northern California, especially if we were to examine what happens in Southern California. In the Bay, there's really a mix and a blending of, as you mentioned, Latino folks, Asian folks, Black folks, you know, but in other communities, that's so uncommon. And that's what I do appreciate about the work that you all do. But switching gears a bit, but also interconnected, Fruitvale, as I mentioned, has a large Latinx population. And when we think about the current political landscape, you know, federal policies in recent years have really had real impacts on the community. Have you all seen particular changes in policing or immigration enforcement, and how has Courage responded to that, especially as I mentioned, this existing political climate?
One of the ways is, you know, trying our best to still come out. You know, we could, and I think there's definitely a understandable response on behalf of some people of trying not to be out in community because it's scary, you know, just to be able to be kidnapped right off the street for really no reason. It's scary times, but I think just continuing to, you know, have Black parties, have a presence, you know, bring the community together. Just that is a political statement. It's a political act, and it's an affirming act that, like, we have a right to be here. We're not going anywhere. This is our community. This is our town. But, you know, it also does take a lot more preparation and forethought and planning on our part to try to keep ourselves safe. It's really, really hard when you have law enforcement that isn't following any laws, when you have law enforcement that thinks they're above the law and are violating our constitutional rights, like, and they're fully armed. So how do we really pivot? How do we try to keep ourselves safe in that instance, especially at Courage, when we have, you know, a lot of our staff in the community that we serve are people who have a criminal record. And so, you know, they're more vulnerable to any kind of police activity. So it is a tall order for us. But we're stepping up to the plate, and we know that the only way that we can do this and do this as safely as possible is to have all of our community, our expansive community, and, you know, including those who have the privilege of having documentation or not having a criminal background, come out and be in community with us, because all of our bodies, all of our presence count. It's the only thing that can counter the violence of ICE right now.
Absolutely. Mike, would you like to add to that as well?
Yeah, you know, we work with a lot of young folks, and you know, I'm always checking in with them and letting them know, like, you know, to always be aware of their surroundings, especially in this time and frame. Some are a little nervous, even to work, and like they want to work and they want to come out. You know, a lot of these young folks, you know, help support their families. You know, they're 16, 17, 18, and they're trying to support. And they're trying to support their mom and dad, so they want the extra hours at Courage, but they want to know also that they're safe. Because of what has happened, ICE is around, you know, they are lurking, but we let them know that we got their back and we're never going to put them in harm's way if we do see some of this law enforcement coming out. And even with our young folks that are on probation and parole, I let them know, like, you guys are with us. You guys are good under us. I'll be watching after y'all. And no, law enforcement knows me just because of my past of being formerly incarcerated, directly impacted. But they, some of them have seen the work I've done. So sometimes when they see youngsters with me, they tend to leave them alone because they know that I will speak up for them and I'll have their back. And they're like, man, don't mess with Mike, because they know I have like a community behind me that will support me if any of these young folks do get messed with by law enforcement.
Right. Mike, explain to me how frustrating or daunting of a experience that might be to even have to tell a young person that converse or have a conversation with a young person saying, in case law enforcement have, like you're going to be safe. I mean, when you think about childhood or your youth, that's the one thing that should be the furthest thing from your mind. But in today's society and the climate that we're in, that you actually have to have a conversation like that with young people, that would seem extremely frustrating to me. I mean, how do you feel when, like it's a precaution, but it's also an unfairness, if you understand what I mean?
Yeah, it really hurts and it gets frustrating a lot, even just for like law enforcement to still like even profile me here and there, at times, they never forget the past. But it's challenging because I'm not growing up in 2023, 24. It was a different time 20 years ago, 25 years ago, me growing up. So hearing like some of this like ICE stuff, it's challenging because I'm not directly impacted by ICE, right? Like me getting like profiled by ICE agents or Border Patrol or having family getting kidnapped, I can't really relate to that. Like I could relate to it, but I can't because I never been directly impacted from it. So I try to calm them, but then again, it's like it's sad because the kid opens up like, dude, my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother-in-law. So it's a challenging conversation to even have with the young folks.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Again, listening Family of Hard Knock Radio, that was the voice of Mike Muscadine, the Community Peace Manager with Courage, Community United for Restorative Youth Justice. Also joining us by phone, we have Frankie Ramos, the Director of Campaigns and Organizing. And I'm going to bring her back into this conversation a bit with taking us back one more time to Town Nights. For someone coming to Town Nights for the first time, what's the experience or takeaway that you hope that they might walk away with after experiencing this community building and support system that you all have created via Courage?
The community vibes, just the joy of being out and seeing people from all cultural backgrounds and different ages having a good time, a safe time. Children laughing and playing at the kids zone and going up and down the inflatable slide and getting their face painted by the clown and mothers and young people, going through the clothes that we have at the booth where we're going to be giving away gently used clothes and shoes and other things like that. Enjoying the free food. Courage is really, really blessed to have our own food justice manager, Michael Littlebear, who cooks for all of our events, and he's going to be barbecuing up some chicken and some side dishes, and that's all for free. So just a lot of good time, a lot of laughter, some education. We're going to have actually Hard Knock's very own Davey D is going to be spinning, so there'll be good music. Just a really good time to be had, and the knowledge of like what Courage is up to, how can you get plugged in? Because back to a point that you kind of made earlier about it being political and how our activities like our block parties are cultural and fun and community building, but more than that, we're always going to be inviting the community to be part of our movement to move resources away from policing and incarceration and into the community, into our young people, into the things that we know address the root causes of harm in our community. So there'll be a little bit of something for everybody on top of, I think Mike already mentioned, the free haircuts, free prizes. So yeah, it'll be a good time, and hopefully people will get connected and keep coming back out to our events.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's going to be a good time. For listeners who want to support Courage beyond attending events, You mentioned that there's a funding deficit, that there's a decrease in the investment in community and young people in this particular way. What's the best way that people can get involved and really help you all out with the work that you're doing?
Follow us on our Instagram, Courage 510 on IG, and we're also on Facebook, Courage Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice. You can go to our website, courage.org, and fill out a form to stay in touch, because we're always needing the community to come out, whether it's city council meetings to make sure that we have, the best policies to keep our communities safe without criminalizing our communities, whether it's the budget fight to make sure we're making the right investments. And then, we have a lot of the same struggles at the level of the county. And so we're also trying to mobilize people to be more engaged and involved in Board of Supervisor meetings. There's a lot of money at the county level, and there's a lot of need for us to make sure that the right investments are being made, and that the best policies are being adopted. So there's an invitation to just follow us, be engaged with us, and help us organize our communities.
Now, we've been seeing Fruitvale District regarding town nights, but I think we need a little bit more information for the listening family of Hard Knock Radio. Where exactly, what time will this be going down this Saturday? When and where? Mike.
Yes, I'll hop in. Yeah, it'll be on 35th Avenue here in East Oakland, the Fruitvale District. Cross Street will be East 12th up to 36th Avenue as well.
Okay. And what time again?
It'll be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And if people want, if they forget and they be like, man, I forget exactly where he said it was going to be at, they can also check out the website at Courage. What's that again? That information will be there.
At curyj.org. That's our email. Then also curyj510 on our Instagram.
All
And we've
right.
got flyers going.
Excellent. Excellent. Again, that's Mike Muscadine. I've been speaking with him along with Frankie Ramos. I want to thank both of you so much for sharing with us about Town Nights, and we're looking forward to really seeing everyone there this Saturday in the Fruitvale District. You said the 35th, right? 35th?
35th Avenue and East 12 up to 36th Avenue in
All
East 12.
right.
Right by the Fruitvale BART station, and if you can take public trans, that's great. If you can't, there is free parking at the BART parking lots on 35th Avenue and on East 12th.
All right, excellent. Thank you both for taking time to speak with me today here on Hard Knock Radio.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Hey, Hard Knock Radio, East, West, North, South, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Ground Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Ground Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
Yeah, it's what it is, what it is. Tune it in, yo. Living in these times where truth is a crime. Disinformation age is online. Gotta watch the things that you buy. Can't trust it these days, it's online.
Feeling so dystopic. Leaders of the world, you know them soulless. Minds a goldfish, it's all looking hopeless. I gotta rap facts to get us back focused and on track. No slack, just a clean glass. Take a sip, you can sit in my steam class. Science, technology, engineering, and math. Master the arts to perfect it, my craft. How long can it last? Politicians, trash, mashing up the earth, yo.
up bad. The sad part is the dearly departed. So many stolen lives, all lies departments. Keep on killing, God willing, we abolish them. Unjust laws got a right to not acknowledge them. It's probably some agent surveilling me writing this verse. But it could always get worse.
Living in these times where truth is a crime. Disinformation age is online. Gotta watch the things that you buy. Can't trust it these days, it's all lies. Living in these times where truth is a crime. Disinformation age is online. Gotta watch the things that you buy. Can't trust these days, it's all lies.
There's a war going on, all up in the algorithm. Systematic triggers control what is hidden and what's revealing. Constantly concealing. Any kind of resistance can't have that mass appealing. That's a not feeling when you get a mind of your own. Blind, deaf, and dumb, nose dive like a drone. They destroy the whole village, no cap, it's on. Every day another pillage, these plastic phones. All need a mineral, known as coltan. Killing the Congo and destroying the land. No mention of Sudan, where millions get massacred. Post-colonial Africa, Western manufactured disaster zone. Homes to catacombs, live streaming genocide in Gaza shown. Bodies being blown all over the place, but you'd rather watch balloons pop for Eric's face.
Living in these times where truth is a crime. Disinformation age is online. Gotta watch the things that you buy. Can't trust these days, it's all lies. Living in these times where truth is a crime. Disinformation age is online. Gotta watch the things that you buy. Can't trust these days, it's all lies.
All lies. Word to the wise. No. Just gotta understand that anything that you consume is gonna have an effect on your day to day, you know? That's all I'm saying, man. Be discerning.
Black Caucus has many markers throughout the long history of resistance in the Americas. There are more than we could ever recount here, but here are a few that are important and undeniable events that affected other events and indeed had global impact. It was a hot, humid morning in August 1619 when dark-skinned Africans were unloaded from a ship in the English colony of Jamestown in Virginia. They were called indentured servants by the people who purchased their contracts. It is unknown what the Dutch sailors called them. Some 30 years later, they would be called something that millions of other Africans would be called on American shores for the next 200 years, slaves. They were, in fact, captives, chained, stolen captives of a vicious race war against black life by the merchant princes of Europe. For those people who call themselves African Americans, their unique history begins here. Another notable date in the struggle for liberty in the Americas happened on another shore, among people who spoke no English and perhaps no European languages at all. Their freedom struggle, however, would change the course of world history, and before it ended, transform the face of at least two empires. I speak of the valiant people of Haiti, at the time called Saint-Domingue. In the northern reaches of that Caribbean island, in August 1791, Africans, mostly from the Congo, held religious services in the dark of the night. They prayed to their ancient gods of African memory and vowed to fight against every slave owner and overseer in the land. They vowed to not stop until free or dead. It was a sweaty time when the slaves rebelled against their tormentors. It would be 13 long years, but by January 1804, a new and independent nation was born, free of the monstrous transatlantic slave trade. The Haitian Revolution, the first truly successful slave revolution in history, had succeeded. The destruction of the French army by the black and mulatto armies of Toussaint Louverture meant far more than a military or even a political victory. It meant the end of French dreams of an American empire and the loss of the richest colony in the world. It meant Napoleon could not hold the vast mid-American territories called Louisiana. The Revolution, therefore, weakened French holds on the Americas and allowed the United States to purchase a prize that would double the new nation's size overnight. All of this began in the dead of night, in August 1791, when slaves planned a revolution. On August 21st, 1831, the explosive rebellion of Nat Turner turned Southern society inside out. Although he has been labeled by traditional, that is, white historians, as a madman, Turner was in fact a deeply religious man who was moved by signs and portents that he saw in the summer sky, compelling him to fight for the freedom of his captive people. Only in a slavocracy would the idea of freedom fighting and resistance seem mad. Some 30 years after Nat Turner's rebellion, the Civil War would deal a death blow to American bondage. If there is a facet of American history that does not go beyond the books and records of yesteryear, it has been the various Seminole American wars that were waged across Florida. There were at least three Seminole U.S. wars, and one of them ended on August 14th, 1842. Now, some will ask, what does an Indian-American war have to do with Black August? Well, that's because the nature of the Seminoles and the real reasons behind their raging wars with the Americans is hidden beneath the mists of history. The very name Seminole derives from the American Spanish term for escapee, refugee, or runaway. It stems from the term Cimarron, which was used by the Spanish to denote Indian or African runaways from slavery. The English in Jamaica and the Leeward Islands called their runaways Maroons, from the same root word. The Seminoles were once part of the Creek Confederacy, but unlike many of their contemporaries, they forged close and lasting relationships with runaway Africans and habitually refused British and American demands for the return of slaves to white service. The American general who fought in the Seminole Wars, Thomas Jessup, put the question squarely when he declared, quote, "This, you may be assured, is a Negro, not an Indian war," unquote. General Jessup wrote those words because of the hundreds of black warriors fighting on the side of the Seminoles, and because the Seminoles refused to sell men, women, and children who had become their kinfolk. It is noteworthy that of all the Indian wars fought against the Americans, the Seminole Wars cost the most American casualties. August 30th, 1856. When the name of John Brown is evoked, the shadow of Harper's Ferry arises in the mind of the small group of rebels who tried unsuccessfully to seize an American armory and foment rebellion among the slaves. But years before Harper's Ferry, John Brown had waged war against pro-slavery forces in Osawatomie, Kansas, after Missourians had sacked the town of Lawrence, Kansas, some 3 months earlier. The fighting in Kansas led to excited reports about bleeding Kansas. What they were tough, nasty border wars between anti- and pro-slavery forces, each trying to dominate the other. Indeed, Brown was called Osawatomie Brown before Harper's Ferry marked him as a martyr for the sacred cause of freedom. August 11th to 16th, 1965. The fires of Watts, a black community in Los Angeles, California, were markers for rebellion for the generation of blacks in the 1960s. These rebellions, staged in response to brutal police attacks on people, cost the lives of 34 people and also almost $20 million worth of property damaged or destroyed. August 5th, 1970, the Black Panther Party's Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton, spent some 4 years in prison before winning his release on $50,000 bail on this date. It marked his physical return to the party, at the time a period of great hope. August 8, 1978, one of the earlier MOVE confrontations. Some 9 MOVE men and women were sent to prison for hundreds of years stemming from a deeply flawed trial. MOVE members continue to fight for the release of their imprisoned comrades. MOVE veterans of the August 8 police assault have been in prison for 25 years in dungeons throughout Pennsylvania. They remain rebellious spirits who oppose a repressive status quo. The spirit of Black August moves through centuries of multicultural resistance. It is an emblem of the spirit of freedom. It is a long smoldering spark of the fire in the hearts of a people, hearts burning and yearning for freedom. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Welcome to Black August.
We rise in the game from the cell to the streets, know the name martyrs, freedom. We honor the pain, ancestors bled, so we break these chains. Revolution in the sun, we are not the same. Woke refer us to awareness of social injustices faced by black people in America. History out the closet, closet. Originated in California's prison system in San Quentin. Welcome to Black August. Welcome to Black August.
We rise in the game from the cell to the streets, know the name artists.
Freedom.
We honor the pain, ancestors bled, so we break these chains.
Revolution in the sun,
we are not the same.
Woke refer us to awareness of social injustice
faced by black people in America.
History out the closet.
Closet.
Originated in California's prison system at San Quentin. Welcome to Black August.
Welcome to Black August.
Started in San Quentin, blood on the page.
What?
George Jackson killed, lions in a cage.
Yeah.
1971, rays turned to spark.
Right.
Black Panther heart lit up the dark. Commemorate rebels, never forget. August the time to pay spiritual debt. Haiti revolt. Nat led the storm. Black August is where warriors are born. Fed up with chains, fed up with lies. This ain't just history, this never dies. Freedom fighters who wrote with their blood. Names etched deep in the struggle's mud. From Jonathan Jackson to Asada's cry. We study fast and ask why. Liberation ain't just talk. It's every ancestor who chose to walk.
Black August, we rise in the game from the cell to the streets, know the name martyrs.
Freedom,
freedom. We honor the pain, ancestors bled, so we break these chains.
Revolution in the sun, we are not the same. Woke refer us to awareness of social injustices
faced by black people in America.
History out the closet,
closet.
Originated in California's prison system in San Quentin. Welcome to Black August. Marcus Garvey born in the month of fire. Uprising spirit, lift us higher. Fred Hampton's voice still echoing soul. Truth gets buried but never grows old. And go to three, unjustly done. Freedom ain't free when you're under the gun. They tried to crush us, tried to erase. But we kept building in every space. Mumia speaks from behind the bars. Each August night, we honor the scars. From Soweto youth to Atticus cries. System built on colonial lies. Rebellion ain't wild, it's precise. Born in blood, forced to sacrifice. Study the past, don't just vibe. Revolution's more than a hashtag tribe. Welcome.
We are live today with our good brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been fighting a good fight before many of us was born. How are you feeling today, comrade? How's everything going with you?
Brother, I am well. As I say, every day is a new day and a new beginning. So let us begin this one well.
Right on. Hey, man, we know that, there's so much stuff that we would like to rap about in so little time, but I know that, just getting to the meat of it, we know that you've been fighting this whole health situation for a minute. You know, tell us how that's going right now. I know that you recently had surgery back a few months ago. How's your health right now? Is it pretty strong or?
It is. It really is. My health is, I'm a biased observer.
Right on.
My health is excellent, though, and I just keep moving every day. I have a walk for about an hour when we're in the yard, and if we're not in the yard, the weather is inclement. You walk on the block. I just keep on walking. That's one of the good pieces of advice that the good doctors told me about, which is to walk. And it's a perfect exercise.
Right on.
Still walking.
Right on, right on. We'll keep on walking as the song go. We know that this December marks 40 years since you were railroaded. You spent 30 on death row on solitary confinement. 10 of those was after a federal judge ordered the death sentence overturned. You know, I mean, your strength has just been impeccable. Along with that, you recently dropped a commentary called Movement Pains. And in it, you spoke about the oppressed and abuse of power within the movement. Can you speak to that? Because of the fact that that's prevalent right now. And it, we know it's always been.
Well, you know, I think about things from different perspectives. So, you know, when I write, I try to be original in my thinking and not just additive of what others are saying. So, if I'm not bringing anything original to the table, I'm not talking.
Right.
You know, just echo. And, you know, echo can create reverb. You know, in radio, that ain't cool.
Right. Yes, sir.
So, I want to bring something new to the table. So, that means you have to kind of think things through and just bring it when it's there, when it's timely.
Right on.
When the time is right. You know, the movement has shifted as life has shifted. But, you know, on the whole, I think that this really a wonderful period, right, to be alive because people are awake. I was going to say awakened, and I was tempted to say woke, but people have awakened to really the poisons of the system in ways they haven't been for decades, you know. There are a lot of people who never lived during the 60s. That was one of the freest moments I know in my own kind of personal life as being part of a group of revolutionaries known as the Black Panther Party. But
right on.
Those periods repeat themselves, right, in cycles throughout history, right? And, you know, given the technology that brings people face to face with the George Floyd situation and similar situations around the country, many people have awakened to the nature of this beast because they couldn't turn away from it. They were looking literally live, right, in real time.
That's right.
At a modern day legal lynching, and it, you know, it freaked them. It freaked them out.
Right.
Right? Because they couldn't believe it. That's like, you know, this ain't a TV show.
That's right.
It's a reality. You get it?
Right.
And the real truth behind that is that it happens damn near every day.
That's right.
But people don't see it. They don't feel it. When you're looking at a man in his 40s crying for his mama,
that's
because
right.
He knows, right, that he has moments left to live. Because he, as he explained, he can't breathe, right? Then that's an awakening moment. And so, you know, you take advantage of that moment and you build on it, right? You teach people about the history of the United States, the history of white supremacy, the history of colonialism and imperialism, and you build. And you build, and you build. This is a time for movement building all around the world. And think about this. When George Floyd happened, it wasn't a national thing. It was a global thing. You know, people demonstrated in, like, Korea, Japan, Indonesia, England, France, Germany, literally all across the world. Because what they felt, what they saw, what they experienced was a human being killed by the state with cold complicity, right? It's stuff like that builds movements and creates struggles to carry us through.
Right on. And the beauty of you is the fact that you've always had your finger to the pulse of the streets. I remember we reached out to you when Troy Davis was on death row. I reached out to Pam and Noel Hanrahan, and they said, yeah, you know, Mumia said that he's going to support the Troy Davis situation. There you were, fresh off of death row yourself, and you were pushing for others. You know, your strength, like I said, it's impeccable. I want to ask you real quick, because I know we are pressed for time, but what is the role, or what should be the role in journalism or with journalists these days, because of the fact that we know that part of your sacrifice was your reporting on MOVE and other atrocities that were going on in Philadelphia. Can you speak to that?
The role of a journalist is to be in a revolutionary perspective. I should say a revolutionary journalist as opposed to a corporate journalist. But the role of a journalist, in my mind, is to be a tribune of the people, to, as you suggested, to touch the pulse of the people, to feel what they feel.
You have 1 minute left.
And to reflect that which they do not, so that we can, again, build movements that are moving at a higher frequency and a higher vibration, to pull people together and to inspire them to do that which we know is possible, because it has happened in the past. Anything that has happened in the human past is possible in the human future. That's both negative, but it's also positive. So we can build, we can grow, and we have to think along those terms, because as a man thinking and as a woman thinking, so it is. So let us come together, as George Jackson reminded us, stop our squabbles and join together and fight against this monster before it takes.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Love you as well, brother. Yes, yes, yes. Been listening to Mumia Abu-Jamal. He had the opportunity to call in fresh this morning, and it's so much we wanted to speak to him on, but we know we're pressed for time, so hopefully we will get him back on the line soon. You're checking out Riot Starter TV, and make sure that you stay in tune with not only Mumia Abu-Jamal, but all political prisoners. The call is free them all.
Yo, hip hop started out in the heart, yo. Not everybody trying to charge, say what? Hip hop started out in the heart, baby, yo. Not everybody trying to charge.
Come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on. Come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Everything you drop is so tired. Music is supposed to inspire. How come we ain't getting no higher? Now tell me your philosophy on exactly what an artist should be. Should they be someone with prosperity and no concept of reality? Now who you know without any flaw? Who you know without any flaw? That lives above a spiritual law.
That lives above a spiritual law.
And does anything they feel just because?
Just because.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
supposed to inspire.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
All we hear is Radio Gaga.
We are proud to announce exciting news. KBOO Community Radio has been voted the best radio station in Portland by Willamette Week readers. In June, Willamette Week